College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Before becoming governor, I promised Missourians I would take action on crime as soon as my hand left the Bible on Inauguration Day. And we did just that, signing six executive orders that were developed based on input from law enforcement to launch our Safer Missouri initiative. From organizing regional efforts to arrest dangerous fugitives, to charging our state troopers to work with the Trump administration and our federal partners on an effort to crack down on illegal immigration, to establishing a statewide program that encourages communities to support law enforcement. As I've said before, in the coming weeks, months, and years, our administration will be relentless in our pursuit to make Missouri a place where it's easier to be a cop than a criminal.
Yeah, thank you. Governor Kehoe there talking about crime in the state of Missouri and what he'd like to do to help crack down on it. And, you know, I saw a quote from him yesterday where he said he really didn't want to make this political. But the mayor of St. Louis is certainly making it political. And the chief, Tracy, suggested anybody supporting it doesn't support police. I heard him say that earlier this week. They're really on the offensive here to try to stop this thing. We got Jane Duker, attorney here on the radio with us this morning. Jane, thank you for getting up early and giving me a minute today.
Oh, I'm my pleasure. Great to hear from you.
It's great to have you on. So on to the Kehoe statements here and the fact that Mayor Tishara Jones and Chief Tracy have been firing with both barrels, so to speak, against the state takeover.
Yes. I mean, I think they know that it's getting great momentum in Jefferson City. So they're truly on the offensive. And it's a shame. I mean, and for him to indicate that you don't support police if you support board control is complete falsehood. Every police officer, both the St. Louis Police Officers Association and the labor organization, ESOP, the Ethical Society of Police, which is the minority group, are 100% in favor of board control. And, you know, these are St. Louis citizens. It's not like the state is taking over. These are St. Louis citizens, just like in St. Louis County, that will be running the police department. And so it's very sad, but make no mistake. If you support police, you are supporting board control of the police department.
Yeah, I did just to second that for a moment, and I made this point last week. I know a lot of St. Louis police officers, and I'm good friends with a number of them as well. And I've never heard anybody from a police officer perspective who is not in favor of the state taking back control. The chief acts like you're not supporting those people, but to your point, every single one of them that I know is in support of this idea.
And I've testified in every hearing for this bill for the last 4 years. And the bottom line is, I mean, they will go to these committees and they will just straight up lie. It's very, very concerning. So, for example, when I was obviously saying that we cannot verify the crime data that they peddle to the public. And I said the reason they don't put a year's worth of data on the web, because then you could actually check the numbers that they put forth. And the chief looked at the senator's eyes and said, oh, the data's right there. I don't need to print anything off because the data is on the web. And, you know, a senator pulls out the phone and says, well, it says on your website that there's only 6 months of data.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of things that are, you know, we're the third year into this with Chief Tracy, and they've been hearing the same thing. Give me more time. We're reducing crime, but nobody feels it. I mean, they tell you the crime is not happening. Well, when you don't have enough police officers to actually respond to the crime, don't have enough 911 operators to actually answer the phone when someone calls, that tends to have an adverse effect on reported crime.
So what are
and
the,
people are still feeling it.
What are the biggest changes if the state takes over control of the department? Obviously, Chief Tracy would probably lose some power, but I mean, what does that look like? What could we tangibly see change?
It's interesting because I actually think the chief would probably be better off under board control. One, all policies, allocation of resources will not be politicized. So not only do we have a very horrible shortage of officers, we have an allocation problem, where the resources go and where the most people are. So remember July 4th when they invited, you know, hundreds of thousands of people down to the riverfront for, you know, the fireworks. But then afterwards, they didn't have any police for when the people left. And then you had a complete melee. Okay. Allocation of resources. How many officers are actually on the street? And, you know, what areas of the city? All of that policy would now go to the board. All spending. So the police budget that has technically increased, but it's not for policing. It's for Office of Violence Prevention and all of this other nonsense that's put into the police budget. Well, the police board is not, you know, going to govern those funds. So we'll actually have an entity that will be able to discuss the funds and run the budget that's actually for policing.
Yeah.
And that would be extremely important. They would start recruiting again. How about that? I mean, they're not even trying. I mean, we are still, before she cut the 120 vacancies, the recent ones, you know, we were 400 down. So, I mean, that's dangerous.
It is
dangerous for the police, and it's dangerous for the citizens.
Well, Jane,
just a few examples.
That's true. We're talking to Jane Duker here. Let's transition to the Transform STL Act that they're trying to pass with this Rams money that you know, I pointed out several times, doesn't include a dime for law enforcement or public safety, but of course it adds a lot of perks to being a city employee, I guess, if you count child care and
college. That's for sure.
Yeah,
college education, you know, and they say, oh, this is, you know, to retain city workers. I'm like, well, then just pay them a living wage. How about that? I mean, you know, there's an option there. Of all of the ARPA money and all of the Rams money, about $740 million, police got like $7 million for like some repairs at headquarters and about $3 million in cars. So of all that money, that's what policing got.
So,
I mean, that shows you what the priority is for the Board of Aldermen. This fund is insane. I mean, look, these guys can't pick up trash. They can't pick up snow. There is no way, you know, they should be handling child care.
I'm sorry, Jane.
I mean, it's. Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to go back really fast. You're talking about just the dumb decisions that the city has made, and Tashara Jones, and she just doesn't know how to run the city. She's the one who's freaking out, it seems like, the most, aside from Chief Tracy, but he's freaking out because the mayor is his boss. Why is she so panicked about board control of the police department? What's the biggest change for her?
If she wasn't running the department in the way that she wanted, she wouldn't care. That right there proves to you why board control is necessary. So she is clearly orchestrating this department in the way she wants it, and she wants to keep it. And it's scary. It makes you wonder how much more control she has over the department. And so, you know, the things that, you know, that we don't see. So, I don't understand it. I mean, in fact, if I were her, I would say, well, let the state run it and let's see how it does. And you can sit on the sidelines and complain if you want. And let the state pay for all the lawsuits.
Well, Jane, what is We Power?
Oh, it is some BS organization that was started in 2000. It's sort of an outgrowth of sort of the nonprofit industry that was created off of protesting. And they want to do early childhood care. And, you know, child care plus early childhood education. And their goal is to secure $100 million of sustainable government funds to set up some early childhood, you know, hubs. It's all nonsense. It's all smoke and mirrors. These people have no experience. They have nothing to do with education and or child care. They just want to live off of government funds. And nonprofits are great if you can do partnerships with the public and for the public good. But, you know, this is not their job.
Right.
The state's job. I mean, the governor just announced more than $100 million for child care and early childhood development. That's the state's job. I'm sorry if you don't like the way they do it, but that doesn't mean you're qualified to do it. And they're not.
Interesting how these spending decisions are made, for sure. And Jane, we're about to run out of time here. But on the election, I saw you had some advice the other day. Clearly, Mayor Jones is on the ballot there, along with Kara Spencer and Michael Butler and Andrew Jones. They've got this ranked choice voting deal in the city now. What can people do to try to defeat her?
It's not enough to just vote for someone else other than Tashara Jones. Vote for everyone else besides Tashara Jones. So it's important to, you know, because I think it would be fantastic if she actually came in third. And so if we can vote, you know, in whatever order you deem appropriate, vote for the other three. In whatever order you choose, vote for the other three, because those second place votes matter. Those third place votes matter. So don't, and a lot of people are uncomfortable with voting for more than one person, but this system is rigged so that, you know, you're going to want to do that so that we can get rid of her.
Yeah. Very good. Well, Jane, I tell you what, I appreciate your time this morning, and that gives people an idea of what's going on in the city. And hopefully we're in state control by May.
Oh, I'm hoping sooner.
Yeah, let's hope.
Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Thank you.
All righty,
bye-bye. Yeah, bye. All right, thanks. Jane Duker there. Good to get her on this morning. And she is a regular on Reardon's show. I have trouble getting her out of bed this early, though, to be honest.
And, Mark, we're going to have mayoral candidate Andrew Jones on the show with us on Monday.
Yeah, good. We are. I knew we were trying to set that up, and I'm glad you reminded me of that. We're going to get him on. So he'll be on. He's the only Republican that I know of that's running for mayor in the city. Michael Butler is also running. We've had him on the show before in years past. And Kara Spencer, who I guess would have to probably be the strongest opponent that Jones is worried about right now, because somebody just donated $100,000 to her campaign or something. She just got a big campaign contribution.
Bob Clark.
And I'm not sure if we're in better shape or worse shape with Kara Spencer, to be honest with you. But those are your big options this year.
Get more at 971talk.com.